Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Ray and Brad here on The Advertising Show. So nice to have you here. That's great you dropped by today. Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. And some special guests today. As always, we've got Amber Mack. Power friending is what it's all about. And this as it relates to social media. Are you fluent with social media? You'd probably be surprised how many people aren't. Matter of fact, not only aren't fluent, but are afraid of social media. So we have bunches of great questions for Amber, and hopefully she has a lot of great answers. Because of the environment that we're working in, Amber's answers will be very quick. So, Brad, if you have any extra questions, that's a good idea. So, Amber Mack is with us, and we here in just a few minutes, Jeremy Kent's going to be with us. Jeremy is our European correspondent. Sir Martin Sorrell says that things are kind of looking gloomy as far as advertising goes in Britain. And we will find out more about what Jeremy says about that, about Sorrell says as well. You know, here in the United States, obviously, everybody was on the bandwagon to say, you know, things are looking up, things are doing great, we're going to make it. And realistically, things are looking up and things are doing a little bit better. But what some folks are saying is that the last half of this year, or, you know, what's left of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, aren't going to be as robust as it was originally reported. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as well. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Brad? I mean, have you seen things come back a little bit for you as far as that goes? Or are you seeing people who are very, very, very cautious as they were before?
I think that there are a lot of things happening. You know, last week, Alex Ben Block, we were talking about the TV upfronts and how they were much more active than the year before, better pricing, et cetera. You mentioned several shows ago about Super Bowl sales being up and earlier than years in the past. I think it's typical both partisan politics and media jumping on the negative and not wanting to emphasize what positives are going on out there. And, you know, your business, Ray, commercial production, you're seeing a lot more activity than last year. And as we get on into the holiday season, you're going to see an uptick over last year. I think it's all about consumer confidence, and it points to exactly what you're talking about. There's a lot of good going on that's just not getting reported.
Yeah, well, Inside Radio and Radio Inc. are doing some pretty good jobs of forecasting what is happening. But, you know, at this particular point in time, I think it'll be interesting to get to the end of the year and see who was right and who was wrong. So we'll see what happens there. Amber Mack in just a few minutes in the Advertising Show. Her book is called Power Friending, by the way. Larry King is hanging up his hat. And but that is not the only thing that's going on with CNN. CNN, which has grown to be a respectable beyond what it was used to. What was it called? The Chicken Noodle Network many years ago. It has grown to have a 25-year run of Larry King, Anderson Cooper. But those two names apparently are having some issues right now. Cable news network being plagued by high-profile departures, low ratings, and widespread resentment among producers. This is according to a report called The Box. Okay, the succession war set off by King leaving, they say, is only likely to heighten the tension and basically make it worse. Speaking on background, one CNN personality told The Wrap that most of the anchors were jealous that Anderson Cooper sucked up resources by going to Haiti in the Gulf of Mexico, leaving them unable to build their profiles at the network. So there's a bit of jealousy there. Cooper says he's frustrated, and King, basically, it's his a personal mess, not Larry King, or not CNN, pushes Larry off. And it also says, why was the King announcement handled so badly? And I don't quite understand that. He made an announcement at the end of a show and basically said, you know, I'm done. I'm ready to move on.
I think they were wishing that they had a heads up. It was always known that Larry King was going to retire, you know, this year sometime. He just didn't tell the brass about it and chose to announce it on his own program, which he has the right to do. And
absolutely,
you know, as you well know, CNN suffered ratings tremendously this past year too, and it's all a matter of Fox and, frankly, MSNBC being the liberal side of the cable network, Fox being conservative, and CNN trying to be just a news channel. Nothing wrong with that, but yeah, partisan politics being what it is, everybody wants to go to their cable channel that's talking, you know, their view of things, I suppose.
Yeah, it's no different than finding your favorite talk show host on the radio, basically.
Right.
You're going to gravitate toward that. But it'll be interesting to see, number one, and I don't know the announcement, if anything's been announced for a follow-up for Larry King or somebody else to do that.
Oh, you know, Seacrest is being mentioned.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He's also talking about not renewing his Clear Channel contract, which, you know, he's, you know, pretty much done with radio, I would think, with his visibility on television. Why would he stay on the radio? So,
well, he's making big bucks at Clear Channel. He makes $10 an hour. I mean, come on, what do you want? I'm joking. So,
and he only airs in one market.
Yeah, something like that, on tape or on digital these days, we say. No, don't we? Let me tell you about Amber Mack here. First of all, she's from Toronto. She is that's where she's at this weekend, as we talk to her as well. Excuse me. Amber is a new media consultant, journalist, and speaker. As a new media journalist, she currently hosts Web Nation on CP24 and writes a regular column for The Globe and Mail, Yahoo, and MSN. As a co-founder of the agency MGIMedia.ca, her team has managed social media initiatives for Tony Robbins, who's in the book, Canada Goose. Are there any other kind of geese? Rogers, the American Dental Association.
What? Gray Goose.
Well, it says Canada Goose.
Oh.
So I don't know whether that's a different blend.
Vodka?
Who knows?
Vodka.
No. Yeah, exactly. The American Dental Association and many other organizations. And today we're talking about the book, as well as many other things here, called Power Friending. It's all about social media. And we have a bunch of questions for Amber. We'll get her on for a few segments here and let you find out a little bit more about the book and about what she does in her world up there in Toronto, where today it's not snowing. Okay, just wanted to let you know that. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and it's Jeremy Kent, our European correspondent, right now.
Hi, and welcome to London and the European News Desk. I'm Jeremy Kent. This week, the French take Google to task, the Belgian post office gets a makeover, Coke recycles 4 tons a day, and a new way to measure PCTV. NavX, a French company providing location-based data services such as speed camera locations and gasoline prices for GPS devices, had been advertising happily alongside Google search results until recently. Then, suddenly, last November, Google suspended the NavX account and didn't inform the company until 4 days later. In evidence, Google justified the ban by claiming that it would no longer promote radar detection devices because they are illegal in France. NavX counterclaimed that it only provided speed camera locations and that it doesn't sell radar detectors. The French antitrust regulator agreed with this argument and stated that Google had shown a lack of transparency and discrimination by brutally terminating the NavX AdWords account. The authority went on to say that Google had abused its dominant position in the market, and as part of the interim ruling, it must now clarify its AdWords policies and processes within the next 4 months. Just up the road from Paris, there are major changes afoot in Brussels. The Belgian post market will be liberalised at the start of next year, and the national mail service, De Poste La Poste, called in Interbrand to provide strategic guidance and a brand overhaul as part of its preparations to enter a new competitive marketplace. The new brand identity was unveiled on 17 June, and the postal service will now be known as Bpost. The new logo will be rolled out across thousands of vehicles, mailboxes and uniforms from September. Back to London, where Coca-Cola has 260 Recycle Zone bins throughout London's West End, and as part of Recycle Week 2010, the company revealed that they were collecting more than 4 tonnes of recyclable material every day. This is a great community and environmental initiative from Coca-Cola GB. The company has now opened its 66 UK Recycle Zone in Peterborough City Centre and aims to have 80 zones set up across the UK by the end of next year. Finally, UK TV audience measurement service Barb has announced a 6-month trial to measure audience figures for those viewing TV programmes on their PCs. Barb is currently recruiting for a trial panel of 75 homes where a virtual meter will track the consumption of online audiovisual content. The UK will be the first country to field test the device. Since 2005, Barb has used twice yearly surveys to capture claimed viewing figures for online programming. If the trial is successful, Barb will then explore how the new data can be integrated into the wider TV audience figures. This is Jeremy Kent at the European News Desk for The Advertising Show.
And that's the way it is, according to Jeremy Kent, our European correspondent here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, being powered by Shipple.com. It's an incredible platform, and it's a web marketing platform. Check it out. Shipple, it's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. Ed Shipple and his gang do a great job for us. The platform is called Tendency. Yeah, it's good stuff. Power Friending is the book, and it is called Demystifying Social Media to Grow Your Business. And a quote here from a guy named Tony says, Amber understands how important it is for all of us, both as individuals and as businesses, to be able to use social media to connect with people in ways that are real and authentic. And I think she is a leader in this space. That is Tony Robbins that said that, by the way. You know Tony. So, Amber, it is good to have you here on the show. Welcome back. Not welcome back, but welcome to The Advertising Show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, we're honored to have you on. You're the first to focus specifically on Power Friending, and we're going to talk a lot about Twitter as well. We've had digital media experts and specialists on the show in the past, but you're the first for this area of focus. And we've got a lot of questions that came through Twitter at the Ad Show account, and I'm going to share those with you later on during the interview. But first off, Amber, why the book? Who did you write the book for, and what was the motivation behind Power Friending?
Well, I think the motivation for me writing the book was I also, aside from doing some stuff on television and writing some columns, I do a lot of speaking about social media throughout North America, and I had spoken at a number of events week after week, and every time I realized that as much as I think we think that we understand the social media space, there are so many other people out there who really don't understand what we're talking about, and they really need a how-to guide to get them started. And so I wrote the book as a guide for people to be able to, from start to finish, build out a social media strategy and have all of the tools and information they needed to get started and hopefully to avoid some of the mistakes other companies have made.
So as much as an introduction, as well as I think from having read your book, some good advice even. You say your social media will become another tools that are used for communication.
Brad, you need to restate that question. You're going away on Skype. No, you're still going away. Are you
test
there?
One. Okay. Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, you're there. Go ahead and pick up. Go ahead and pick up your question.
Okay. You say in your book, moreover, social media will become just another set of tools that are used for communication. I'm curious, do you see all social platforms as really just kind of like email and other ways of connecting with people?
Yeah, I mean, I think they really are just other forms of communication. I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on the technology, but the reality is these are just different platforms that allow us to do things, including communicate with people and be social. I mean, we've been social creatures for centuries and centuries and centuries, and so I really like to encourage people not to be too afraid of the technology, but again, just think about the technology as a way, a means to an end, so a way to be able to connect with people and have conversations.
What is the fear factor, though? I mean, is it not understanding the technology? Is there a fear factor in wondering where your information is going to go or giving up privacy? What is it?
I think for most people, at least in the advertising and marketing world, what I've found is the fear is about doing something wrong using the tools. The fear is that they'll be too complicated, they don't really understand what type of messages they should be putting out there, and they just feel as though it's a whole other world. And so there's a lot of fear in terms of dipping their big toe in and experimenting with the tools, but the reality is you can't really break any of these tools. I mean, this isn't like really complicated technology where you can hurt anyone. I mean, if you make mistakes online, fortunately, I think the internet audience is fairly forgiving. And so, again, I think I think people should be less afraid, and I think they should be a little braver and excited to be able to experiment with these tools, because we've seen, you know, year after year now, many businesses who've really leveraged the power of social media and have done amazing things with very small budgets and also small teams.
Amber, a Twitter question from one of our followers. Jason wants to know your thoughts on getting around the tricky balance of professional business tweets versus personal tweets within the same account. So mixing business with personal tweets on the same account, is this a problem?
That's a really great question. You know, what I would say is it really depends on what type of business that you are running. But I will say that people on Twitter do appreciate those little personal tidbits. I mean, it may sound strange, but at least I found that as much as I use Twitter as a platform to promote what I'm doing, when I do things like I post a picture of my son or I post what I just ate for breakfast or anything else that has that sort of personal edge, I think people really appreciate that and they feel as though it makes it human. And at the end of the day, I think people are lacking that human connection in their jobs, and they really want to be able to go online and to have that experience where they can find out a little bit more about somebody who works at a company, and they're not just dealing with a faceless entity.
You know, I'm curious, how does someone from a business standpoint look at whether they're successful or not when they're doing social media? In other words, you know, there are a lot of organizations out there that have an active and ongoing social media presence, yet they still struggle, as many do, with determining whether it's successful or not. How do you go about measuring a successful social media effort?
Well, I think for a lot of people, they forget that they should have a plan in place when they're trying to engage in any type of social media activities. Instead of just jumping in and using the tools, they should have goals, they should establish what tools they're going to focus on, and they should also have measurements for success. And as far as measuring success, one of the best ways that you can do that is by using a tool like Hootsuite, for example, that allows you to measure traffic to certain links that you're putting out on the internet. You can also measure things like comments that you might have in your blog and keep track of how successful and how much people are engaging in the internet space on your different platforms. And so if you want to know what a successful campaign looks like, it looks like as far as the conversations that are happening about your brand, they are actually rising and hopefully incur many positive conversations as well and feedback.
Even a person as global and as worldly as Tony Robbins admitted in your book that I don't understand this. I don't know about this. I'm afraid of this. How did you get Tony to come around to believing
well,
in this?
I think at the end of the day, Tony is one of these people, and there are many people out there like this, who realize the value of social media. I mean, they understand that this is a new world, and this is where people are going to get information first, and they know that they need to participate. But there still is a little bit of free fear. And so I think with Tony, he just knew in terms of his business being successful and continuing to get crowds out at as many events that he had to really find a way to use this technology. Because if you think about what he does, I mean, he speaks at multiple events every year. He gets lots of people who come out, thousands of people who show up. But at the end of the day, after someone comes to an event, they kind of go away and maybe he doesn't see them again for a couple of years. Well, he wanted a way to be able to extend that relationship with those people so he could communicate with them on an ongoing basis. And there are no better tools to do that than social media tools.
Very good.
You know, staying with Twitter just for a second, I think a lot of people think of, you know, it's all about numbers and having as many followers as possible and that this translates to success in terms of number of conversations or even potential quick click-throughs to your website, I guess if it's a commercial endeavor or personal for that matter. Is there a quantity versus quality aspect to followers on Twitter, or is it really all about just sheer numbers?
I really don't think it's all about numbers. I mean, numbers are important to a certain extent, but if you have 10,000 people following you, but they're not engaged and they don't care about your brand, that's not really helpful to you. But I think people need to focus on numbers in terms of seeing an increase in the number of people who are following them. But what I would focus on more is the quality and the quality of engagement. So how often are people having conversations with you? Are they connecting with you? Are you getting value out of that relationship? And so, for instance, you may be a small business who runs a pizza shop and you only have 500 people following you, but maybe those 500 people are in your neighborhood and therefore they become really loyal and important customers to you. So it's not always great to focus on the exact number. You want to focus as well on the conversations and the type of people who are engaged.
The book is called Power Friending, Demystifying Social Media to Grow Your Business, and our guest out of Toronto this weekend is Amber Mack with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show. Want more? Okay, we'll do it. Stay right here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
My dog's faster than your dog. My dog's bigger than yours. My dog's better.
Welcome back. Ray Shillins, Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show. Amber Mack, our special guest today out of Toronto, demystifying social media to grow your business. Boy, good idea. Good book reading, too, as well. The book is actually called Power Friending. And it opens up with Amber on Tony Robbins' jet. Now, I want you to tell me about this, Amber. It's a G4. He probably has more than one jet, right? Or what kind of an airplane does he have? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I think this one was, I think he rented it for a specific speaking event. So,
oh, those are cheap. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think he does that quite often. So it was a pretty unique experience for me. I was working as a technology reporter in Toronto, and someone Tony worked with got in touch with me, and they knew that I specialized in social media and said, hey, we're interested in talking to you, and I would really like you to meet Tony. And I said, well, that would be great. Let's connect in Toronto. Maybe I can interview him for a show that I do. And so I had a chance to interview Tony, and then we hopped on his plane and took a quick flight to one of his speaking events, and I sat beside him and talked about technology, how it works, and social networking, and the popularity of things like Twitter that were just beginning during that time. And we had a great conversation, and like I said before, I mean, he really understood that this these tools were important to his business at large. He didn't understand how to use them. He wasn't using them, but he knew he had to embrace them. And I think that that passion and that interest is really an important part of social media. Even if you don't understand the technology, as long as you're interested in it and realize it will be valuable to you, you can learn the technology. It's not hard.
So he didn't charge you for peanuts or anything like that, or carry-on luggage was free. Is that right?
He did not. Very kind of him, don't you think?
What a guy.
Yeah.
You know, by way of full disclosure, I think we must say at this point that Ray does have a tattoo of Tony Robbins on his left forearm. I want to mention that.
I knew there was something suspicious about him.
There you go.
You should see the poster in the studio. It's pretty cool. Hey, listen, we have another question from a Twitter follower.
You're smoking that
Sean.
Sugar cane again, aren't you? Yeah, okay.
Sean says, your hair looks fantastic, Amber, and wants to know, who does your hair? Amber, I'm thinking this may be a setup, someone soliciting for a cheap plug about your friend that does your hair.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think so. That's kind of funny, actually, that he was asking that question. I don't feel like my hair looks good all the time, but I go to a studio called B-Suite in Toronto, and in fact, I'm working very hard to get them using social media, and I'll tell you a quick little story, if we have time, about the cover of the book. If you look at the cover, I'm on the cover, and there are people behind me. Well, these aren't just random people. These are people who I went on Twitter and I said, hey, do you want to be part of the cover shoot? And literally random people showed up and real people showed up to be part of this cover shoot. So it's not like the publisher actually took just stock photography and plugged it in there. But if you look to, I think it's the far right on the cover, there is a guy standing with a laptop and a baseball hat. He's actually my hairdresser. And he jumped into the shot at the very last minute. And I didn't even know that he was in the photo until the end. So a little interesting tidbit about the book.
So you're not Mormon. This is not your family. Is that what you're saying?
No,
okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. And by the way, if you have a new version 2 of your book, Ray and I will send you a digital photo and hopefully make the cover next time.
That'd be
great. Real quickly, some people out there, I'm sure, are seasoned pros, media
digital media seasoned pros, I guess I should say, but yet there are a lot of tools out there that I think people are still uncomfortable with, as Ray mentioned at the open of the show. So many options: blogs, micro messaging, social networking, videos, podcasts, mobile tools, etc. I'm curious, let's talk about a few of these and see if you can give us a sense, Amber, of what business category might match up best for the particular digital platform, starting with micro-messaging. Who should be micro-messaging these days?
Sure. Well, when I say micro-messaging in the book, what I'm talking about is services like Twitter that allow you to send out quick little messages. Now, I would say Twitter is actually good for a bunch of different businesses. It's not necessarily industry-specific. So whether you run a small business where maybe you have some type of restaurant, or if you're selling crafts online, or you work for a bigger company, a bigger brand, like some big brands like Starbucks are using Twitter in a pretty interactive way, I really think Twitter is the one tool that's good for pretty much any company. And so I would put that in a category of, hey, anyone can use it, and you can find a way to be able to connect with your customers or clients.
You know, I think most people think of media companies when they think of podcasts, but yet companies outside of the realm of media can capitalize on podcasts, can't they?
Yeah. You know, pretty much any company can use a podcasting to figure out a way to create a show, and that can be an audio or video show that you put out there. Now, media companies do it, but I've seen a lot of brands do podcasts as well. For instance, there is a store in Canada called Home Depot, where people have they can go in and they can buy tools, and they can find different tools to work with, and they do a really popular video podcast where they teach people about how to build things in their home, and that tends to be, you know, the type of podcast that does really well, kind of the how-to podcast. And so if you have a company that does something where you're trying to teach people how to do something, or you have a product that they need to learn, then a podcast is a really, really great tool to leverage.
I'm frankly surprised that more companies aren't doing things like that. I think that the realization of the potential of something like a podcast or a vodcast or whatever is absolutely incredible. It just surprises me to see how many companies haven't figured that out yet.
I totally agree with you. I think they're just afraid of the term podcasting in some ways. Maybe we need to call it something else. But it can be a great way to reach out to customers. I mean, if you know why they're using your products or services and you want to teach them how to use them, or just give them other content or information, it's a great free way to be able to get them that information on a downloadable device.
And you don't need the millions of dollars of cameras or the audio suite or the set or whatever. A podcast could be nothing more than a high quality webcam or something like
that. You can go as far as getting a really good quality camera, but like you said, you can also record video just on a webcam on your computer. And there are both types of podcasts that have been very successful. I really encourage people to explore the podcasting world, and just to get your feet wet, just go onto iTunes and see what podcasts are there. Most of them are available, and they're not too long to listen to or watch, and get a sense of what type of content they're pushing out, because like you guys said, it's just a great way to connect with people.
Funny thing is, Amber, and you don't know this, but or maybe unless you know a little bit more about the show, but we have been doing podcasts before there were actually podcasts available, or they called them podcasts. This goes back to 2001. For instance, all of these shows, including yours today, are archived and available for listening anytime. So we've got Amber Mack, our special guest here, Power Friending, Demystifying Social Media to Grow Your Business, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. There is more to come here in just a moment. Hope you stick around. Amber Mack is our special guest here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Glad you're listening today. Power Friending, Demystifying Social Media to Grow Your Business. The Advertising Show is no newbie to social media and or the benefits and the positive things that are going on. Somebody else that seems to do everything right, if Tony Shaw came to me and said, I got some shoes I want to sell over the internet or anything else, I would say, how much money would you like, Tony? You mentioned shoe-friendly customer service in your book. What is that all about?
Well, if anyone's familiar with the brand Zappos, I think it's one of the best examples of how a company has really used social media in a smart way. And this comes down from their CEO, Tony, who you just mentioned. And what Tony does is he uses tools, including Twitter and many other services online, as a place to have conversations with customers, to do customer service. And in fact, what he does is he encourages other people within his organization to be part of these social networks, which is very different. I mean, I speak to a lot of companies where they say, you know what, we're not allowed to access YouTube or Facebook in our organization, so how do we take advantage of these tools at all? And what Tony's done is, for instance, if you go to the Zappos website, you'll see that there are about 500 employees at Zappos who actually list their Twitter accounts. So he's very smart in the sense that instead of having just one person like himself being the face of his social media efforts, he literally has an army of people who are out there and engaging and talking about his brand and loving the Zappos brand. So it's a great example about how social media can work and how it can really grow from the inside out.
You know, Amber, one of our more frugal followers on Twitter, Kevin, wants to know how somebody can get him a free copy of your book. I'm suggesting that Kevin either get a library card or a part-time job. What do you think?
I think that's great advice, and I will say that you can get the book on Amazon, and I believe it's only about $16. So most people can find that type of money or put it on a wish list and get it for an upcoming birthday gift.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, go back to some of your topics here that you'd submitted before the interview today that are outside of the realm of your book. I wanted to address. I understand you say going live is the new way to garner greater attention on the web these days. Is that just a novelty thing about being live, or what exactly is it about going live that sets you apart from other online content?
Well, first of all, I think what's amazing about being able to go live on the internet using a service like Ustream is that if you looked at 10 years ago, if you tried to do a live broadcast online, it would cost you a ton of money and it would take a lot of expensive equipment as well. But today, literally with a webcam and a free service like Ustream, you can do a live broadcast of any type of content, and then maybe you want to send it out as a podcast. So I think as much as it's great that and it's beneficial that you can download content off the internet anytime you want, I think people still like that live element, and there's an energy to it that is appreciated on the web. So I recommend if you want to experiment with either a radio show or a video show online, or maybe it's just a one-time event, then set up a live event. Maybe it happens at Friday at 12 o'clock where you're teaching people about what your company does, and you do it for an hour. You have the chat room going, and you'll find that it is a different way to engage with people, and it can be very successful, again, because of the energy surrounding something that happens live.
You know, I think a lot of businesses today look at Facebook the way they looked at websites back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where if you're in business, you've got to have a website or you're going to miss out. I see a lot of businesses today are going to Facebook, setting up their business site, but yet they really don't know, or business page, I should say, and they really are at a loss as to what they're doing on Facebook. Do you see much of that, Amber?
I do see a lot of that, and it's funny, you know, I think there was a period where people weren't really figuring out how to use Facebook to its full potential, and I even had the same problem. You know, I loved that I was there, and I knew that I had a decent amount of fans who had joined my page and who were having conversations, but I didn't really understand how to maximize my presence there, and I had a great opportunity to sit down with some people at Facebook to talk to me about some of the tips that they have, and they teach companies about how to connect on the site, and I'll give you just one here. Now, a lot of people, when they start up a Facebook page, they focus on the page itself and what it looks like. They add a bunch of content into the tabs, and they think about people coming to visit that page. Well, the reality is that 90% of people who are checking out what you're posting on your Facebook page, they're actually viewing that in their news feed on their own homepage. So it's very rarely actually venturing out to your page. So the tip here is to focus less on the design of the page itself and focus more on the messages that you're sending out there. So focus on the blank box at the top where you put in posts on your wall and have conversations, add photos, ask questions, and really focus on having content in there that when people get that content in their news feed, they feel a desire to either like that content, to comment on that content, or share that content. And that's the way you can make something go viral on Facebook. So just one tip to encourage people to use Facebook and use it in a way where they'll be able to attract an even larger audience.
Facebook has made it not very easy to sometimes follow their rules as their rules change. What seems to be weekly or possibly hourly at times, but it certainly is a great platform. I have a question for you here as it relates to a virtual handshake. When the Internet first became, obviously, a great way to communicate via snail mail instead of snail mail, reaching out to somebody who you hadn't contacted before was a bad thing to do. It was called spam, and you did not do that. So would you please explain to me what a virtual handshake is and how that works and relates to Internet etiquette?
Well, I think this goes back to the title of the book. I mean, it's called Power Friending, and one of the reasons I called it that was when I was speaking at an event, this woman in the back of the audience said, how has the Internet changed the definition of a friend? And I thought to myself, that is such a fantastic question, because the Internet really has. Like you said, there was a time where you wouldn't just randomly contact someone on the Internet. It would seem weird, like you were stalking them. But now what's happening is that the idea of a virtual handshake is you're going out there, you're connecting with people, and you're building relationships. And I would argue that these are real relationships in the sense that I often call people who I've met online my friends, even if I haven't met them face-to-face. So I think that our relationship with people, as far as the definition, is kind of changing because of the Internet. And I think that the Internet is also enabling us to connect with people who 10 years ago we would never have met. We would never have been able to form relationships with them. Now when I go to pretty much any city, I can go onto Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn and say, hey, I'm in your city. Where should I eat? Where should I stay? I can ask all these questions to this network of people who I trust, at least most of them. And so it's really changing the way I decide not only how I spend my money, but also the collection of people who I call my friends.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up this segment, Amber, any parting thoughts as to advice for those that may not be socially media savvy, that either on a business or personal level, how you might encourage them to maybe take a first step?
One thing I would say is to start slowly. I mean, don't feel as though you have to use all of the different sites at once. And so pick a couple of the different services. Have a plan in place, even if it's one page or maybe it's a two-page plan. Have some goals in terms of why you want to use these different tools, and then slowly build up your network on these tools. Connect with people. Ask people questions. Don't be shy about researching information. Don't feel as though you're dumb because you don't understand how some of these different services work. And just put on a brave face and kind of charge forward. But again, don't try to do everything at once.
Good advice as we wrap up here. Amber, you've written a great book. I suggest businesses and individuals go get it. It's called Power Friending, Demystifying Social Media to Grow Your Business. Amber Mack from Toronto, a pleasure having you here on The Advertising Show.
Thank you so much, guys.
We'll be back in just a minute. We've got more to come here in just a moment on The Advertising Show with Ray and Brad. Stay right here. Well, of course, Amber Mack is going to sell a lot of those books, okay? Go get that. It's good stuff. Power Friending. We have a very special guest joining us next week as well. Kevin Dom, who, author of Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. Good idea. I like that. What, Brad, what do you have there?
Well, by the way, just to wrap up on the interview you mentioned about Zappos and the CEO of that company, he has a book out. We're going to be having him on the show one day soon. So
I hope so.
We had others mention. Yeah, he's quite a character and has a lot of great things to talk about. He was on 60 Minutes or something the other day that I saw a piece on him and his company. By the way, for those that may be joining us through the Ad Show Twitter, at the Ad Show. Some of you may be in school in Auckland, New Zealand, thinking that you are at the Ad Show NZ, which is the Twitter account for a school in New Zealand. And if you're listening to us today because you came to us through our Twitter account, that's a great way of making a mistake, but finding something of good and value in spite of that. So for all of our friends in Auckland, students or any professionals, and for that matter, around the world, welcome and thanks for joining the Advertising Show.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say, Ray. And thanks for Varanji, by the way, who's our social media expert here at the Advertising Show, for gathering up those great questions from our Twitter followers.
She's the social director of the show. If this were a boat, she would be The social lady that you used to see on the Love Boat, I guess. I don't know.
And you might want to check your dancing card because hers is filled.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
That's not what she told me.
Well, she's leaving a spot open for you.
Yes, she would be, I'm sure. So next week, Kevin Dom, author of Roar, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. In the meantime, get heard on the social media platform with the book from Amber Mack, Power Friending, with Ray and Brad here. The Advertising Show is severely connected in that way, and as I said before, has always really been kind of ahead of the curve. We did not have a boom and a bust. We mostly had a boom. So we've been around for a while, and happy to have you too. Tell a friend about the Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production. We'll talk to you next week.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.